celebrate bilingual children and how creative their minds work. And there's a lot of bilingual children who don't think of themselves as the most clever kids on the block. And we're here to illustrate to the parents and to the children that their minds are quite flexible. In fact, more flexible than monolingual children and monolingual adults' brains. And that's because we think they're switching back and forth between their two languages all the time. And that act of switching causes the brain to be better in general at creative thinking and flexible thinking. So if they need a new solution to a problem, rather than getting stuck in the old pattern of behaving, they're much quicker and more accurate at inventing a new solution. And so that's a wonderful thing.
Okay, now, one of the things I've been asking people, almost as a devil's advocate, is why on earth would you need to organize play? And in fact, play is an intrinsic part of all of these things. Andy, could you speak to that for a second?
Yes. Well, one of the reasons that we prescribe it today is that parents often think of play and learning as being in opposition to one another, when most of the science shows that play and learning go together hand in hand. And so I think part of the purposes here is to bring that forward to the public and get that information out. Children adore play. Children are creative in play, and children have a lot of control of their own activity in play, which leads to advancements and cognitive developments and advancements. I think people have known that over the ages, but we've gotten away from that recently. We'd like to put play back as the foundation of learning.
We will be having longer conversations on the Science of Educating section of the Science Network at some point. But hello, good morning.
Hello.
But until then, just remind us what LIFE is. It's a National Science Foundation funded Science of Learning Center.
Yes.
Like my own, like the TVLC that I've
LIFE stands for Learning in Informal and Formal Environments. Our theme is the social foundations of learning. And we bring together University of Washington scientists, Stanford University scientists, and SRI International scientists to study why social interaction with other people is so important in all phases of learning. Language, cognitive, social development. The brain feeds itself on social interaction. We think everything changes when you're in a social situation.
And this would qualify as a informal environment?
This
yes,
is a very
quite informal.
Although yes. The kids are probably learning a lot, and some productive schools do have this atmosphere of sort of controlled chaos that you're seeing here today. Kids are probably learning quite a lot today.
Yeah. I was saying to Su Xiang earlier that I was explaining, so how could you get away with explaining to the National Science Foundation that you're funding play? And she said, well, it's not that. It's in service of lifelong learning. That's the important
thing. Well, I think it's one of the explanations that could be put forward is that when scientists do their own work, there's a period of creativity that we call pilot studies. And I think most scientists think of that as playing around with the materials, the stimuli, the conditions, and doing it in a way that's less prescribed than the formal scientific test phase. So we scientists engage in quite a bit of play during the creative moments of the science, is coming up with an idea, testing its parameters. Then when we formally test it with strict scientific methods, of course, that's not so playful. We use much more controlled conditions. But there are these phases of creativity where we scientists engage in play as well. And I think when our experiments succeed, we feel that it's a wonderful playground and feel the joy of play that children feel when they're doing their own creative work.